It's time for the Geek Game Too Long Didn't Read.
Hey everybody, and welcome to a fresh out of the oven Geek Cave TLDR. I'm Darren.
I'm Chad.
And hi, Justin. So it's just me and Chad today, because while Justin does have a vast wealth of gaming knowledge that you can find out about during the gaming segment Ask Justin, today's a little bit more targeted. Today we're talking about everybody's buying everybody, Chad.
Boy, howdy are they ever. Since January 1st, by the way, there have been 31 gaming company acquisitions.
Yeah.
And that's 2022. Now, that's not all just straight video game developers. That is also sports cards, like Topps was acquired, that does baseball cards and so forth, and different gambling companies. So take that with a grain of salt. And we're going to talk about the big two, I assume. I mean, that's why you called me here.
Yeah. Well, I go ahead. I did some notes gathering, and we will be talking about Bungie, which Sony bought for $3.6 billion.
Microsoft acquiring Blizzard Activision for $67 billion.
Yeah, they've actually rounded the number up to $68.7 billion, so just under 69. Geez. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, no, yeah. but real quick, I wanted to run through just how we got here. And I've done some note-taking on how many studios that both companies own. So this has been going on for Microsoft for a while, since Phil Spencer became head of Xbox and righted the ship there after the disaster that was the Xbox One launch. Which, by the way, if you haven't yet, go check out the Power On documentary series on YouTube. Microsoft is refreshingly honest about where they screwed up on that. And it's a good watch. And Phil Spencer seems to be a great guy. But 2 years ago was really when things kicked into high gear, because they were buying small studios left and right. But 2 years ago, they bought ZeniMax, which is the owner of Bethesda. So Skyrim, Elder Scrolls, other games in that pantheon, if you will, such as Wolfenstein and Fallout and Doom, all became Microsoft owned. Mm-hmm. And then they bought Activision Blizzard earlier, last month, and those are the makers of, Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, Diablo, Overwatch, StarCraft, Spyro the Dragon, friggin' Candy Crush, which people don't realize how big of an acquisition that is.
Oh, jeez. I mean, just straight up, Candy Crush was like the most played game.
Yeah.
For God knows how long.
They're also talking about bringing back Guitar Hero, which I personally would be a fan of, but I know that they tried that not that long ago, and it didn't necessarily pan out. But okay, so starting with Microsoft, we've got ZeniMax Media. That's Bethesda Game Studios, id Software, Arcane Studios, Machine Games, Alpha Dog Games, and a couple others. Activision Blizzard, which is Blizzard, Treyarch, Infinity Ward, High Moon Studios, which you may know from the wonderful Transformers games, Toys for Bob, was from the Crash Bandicoot remake, Raven Software, Sledgehammer Games, Beenox, Radical Entertainment, and Vicarious Visions. Now let's talk about who they already owned. Rare. So Rare, that's Battletoads, GoldenEye, etc. And I'm not going to list every game. 343 Industries, Halo, obviously. The Coalition, they're behind Gears of War. Mojang, Minecraft. Ninja Theory, Playground Games, Undead Labs, Compulsion Games, Obsidian Entertainment, In Exile Entertainment, and Double Fine.
Yeah.
That's a stinking lot.
It is a huge number of big game companies.
Yes. And I think that's really the difference between them and PlayStation, is that Sony has tended to buy some of the smaller studios before this past week.
Yeah. Or they just developed them in-house and they kind of shifted along.
Yeah,
because I'm pretty sure it was always like Sony Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. So it's like saying that they have them. It's like, well, yeah, they started with them.
Yeah. So Sony, in addition to Bungie, which will go through next year, that deal will.
Oh, yeah.
Polyphony Digital, Team Asobi, Fire Sprite, Guerrilla Games, Housemart, London Studio, Media Molecule from the Little Big Planet series, Nixxis Software, XDev, who I'm not familiar with, Ben Studio, Bluepoint Games, Insomniac, Naughty Dog, Pixel Opus, San Diego Studio, Santa Monica Studio, Sucker Punch, and Valkyrie Entertainment. Whew.
Yeah, so just XDev isn't so much a gaming company as they develop the tools that you make games on.
Okay, gotcha. So
they're the ones that like make Java better.
Right. So a couple of discussions popped up in the Discord as a result of this. And the obvious one is this good for gaming? Because you're having some of these really big studios. Now, to be fair, we are in an era unlike any we've ever seen before. A Sony published game, MLB The Show, is being released on Xbox and the Nintendo Switch.
Right.
You've got Microsoft allowing Minecraft to continue to be available on all platforms. And
which honestly is wonderful.
It is. It is.
Because I don't want to have to get out the Xbox again so that my daughter will leave me alone.
Yeah. On one hand, these are game publishers and game companies that are showing, like, see, for these really big products, we can absolutely share. But on the other hand, business is business. And Microsoft has Game Pass. So, for example, they can get a whole lot more subscribers to Game Pass if they just, I don't know, put the next Call of Duty up on Game Pass day one and start soaking up sales from Sony.
Yeah. I mean, so we're talking about these really hot, big, high-profile things. But you put Microsoft and Sony together, and they still don't have as many game companies as THQ Nordic. Which, I guess they're the Embracer Group now.
Yeah.
The difference here is that companies like the Embracer Group, they're making products for everybody.
Right.
And Sony and Microsoft don't have a motivation to do that, really, other than I'll rub my hands together as though saying, mo money. I had a thought. So the thinking is, this starts to look a lot like the cinema studio system of the 1930s and 40s, when the movie studio owned not just the movie, the directors and the actors all worked for the studio, but then those movies went to that studio's theater, which eventually fell out. It broke down. There was not a way to keep that up and still make their money. Yeah. And so I think what we're going to see is we're going to see a short-term kind of big boost in the number of exclusives out of these, and then like MLB The Show, you know, that it's going to become kind of recognized like, oh, we need to put this on more consoles. When you look at what was Uncharted 4 was like what, like a $30 billion game to make?
It was ridiculous.
I don't know that for sure. I'm pulling a number out, but I mean, it was, the cost to develop a game is ridiculously high between the number of people required to do the coding and the programming, the number of actors that get involved in these things. I mean, just ridiculously high numbers. There aren't enough players in any particular console to be able to make that up.
Yeah, it cost $50 million make Uncharted 4, and that's not including marketing.
Okay, I said billion because I was thinking million, but I've been looking at my sheet here that has all these billions of dollars of game acquisitions.
Yeah,
I apologize. That was on me.
No, it's fine.
But think $50 million, and then you sell the game at $60 a pop.
Well, 70 now.
70 now, but Uncharted 4 was still when it was 60 a pop. So the number of things, and it made its money back eventually.
Absolutely.
Know, on that, Uncharted 4 was one of the most sought after games there for a while. But but it's not ultimately sustainable, especially as we're seeing kind of the wider context of global economy. I think we're going to see a studio system for a while. It's like, man, look at all these great exclusives come by our console. Sony loses money on every PS5 they sell.
That's right, yeah.
And so, yeah, they're going to try to make up that money in their games. You know, God of War Ragnarok, I'm sure they're expecting to be a huge seller. Yeah. I'm planning on buying it. But how long before we see the God of War, like the PS2, PS3 trilogy? And yes, I'm going to ignore Ascension and the PSP games for this. Before we see a Rare replay on Xbox, and suddenly a whole bunch of Xbox people are like, but GOW is Gears of War, not God of War. It's like, shut up and play your Kratos.
So that brings up an interesting point also, is that we are looking at these as kind of console exclusivity, but both Sony and Microsoft have been releasing some of their big games on PC as well. So they can still kind of technically claim that they're multi-platform games. God of War, God of War made bank on PC. So did Horizon Zero Dawn. And so,
and why wouldn't they? They were both amazing games.
They were both amazing games. And so while Horizon 2 and God of War Ragnarok are going to be PS5/4 exclusive for now, there's nothing to stop that from happening to, coming to PC a year later anyway, and then Sony can continue to make their money up. A lot of jokes were thrown about whenever they bought Bungie, because and we even kind of made the reference on social media, like, hey, they own the guys who created Halo now. But, and this is all love to Bungie, I've got a friend who works there, Bungie hasn't made anything of note other than Destiny 2 for years now. So it'll be interesting to see where they go from there. As you know, I mean, Sony's got a stellar reputation when it comes to their first party titles. And I don't know if this would be the kind of shot in the arm or creative infusion that would lead to Bungie developing something in addition to that, or if this would be kind of like when Microsoft bought, I believe it was Lionhead, the makers of Fable, and then they promptly shut it down after just a few years later, which Microsoft has said was a mistake. They shouldn't have done that. And, there's so many other questions that, unfortunately, because this is a TLDR, we don't have a whole lot of time to get into, such as, is Nintendo planning on doing anything? And Nintendo says no, but Nintendo has been known to be dirty liars before.
Well, that, yeah.
And so, I love Nintendo.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love Luigi?
Mario.
Yeah, Luigi would go into a haunted house for Mario. Mario would stand at the edge of a lava pit to watch Luigi die.
It was either Mario Tennis or Mario Golf on the GameCube, but I don't remember which one. It was one of those sports titles. But if you won as Luigi, Mario would come up and step on his foot while handing him the trophy. So that's canon.
Oh, wow. So, and what was I going to say? Okay. So I was going to talk about just real briefly other, just to give our listeners an idea on the amount of money we're talking.
Yeah. Right.
So this $68.6 or $7 billion, that's huge, right? I mean, that way more money than any group of a million people would ever need.
Right. I'll never see that much money, yeah.
No. But, like, Take-Two acquired Zynga, and Farmville.
Yeah.
For $12.7 billion.
I remember how big Farmville was.
So the company that made Moving Out, Team 17, or published it, I don't know if they made it, but they published it.
Yeah.
They acquired a couple of labels and games. So The Label, which is an indie games publisher, they made What the Golf for like $40 million, and then Hell Let Loose for $46 million. So it's like $50 million.
Okay.
But Savvy, so Savvy is a group, they're owned by the Saudi Arabia's public investment fund. They bought ESL Gaming for $1 billion, which means that those esports tournaments that we see, that company.
Oh, know? Okay.
And so, and they're going to create, you know, ESL Face It Group or whatever the heck it is. And then Times, the New York Times just acquired Wordle.
Damn it. I love Wordle, and now I'm worried about it being behind a paywall.
Oh, it's definitely going to be. They're going to keep it free for a while, they said. But let's be honest. And the thing is, as soon as an advertisement shows up on that page, I'm out.
Yeah, that's
I'm
fair.
I'm out. It'd be like, nope, I was late jumping on. I've only got a 13, you know, a 13 streak. And I'm just like, nope, I'm done. You know?
I just remembered I have to play it today.
Advertisement finished.
But you know, you bring up an excellent point. And by the way, everyone, normally our TLDRs are 15 minutes or less, or it's free. Well, this one's free because it's like 16 and a half now. You bring up an excellent point, and that is indie developers. And, you know, a lot of the smaller studios, they would love to be bought and become part of the fold. But to those that are worried about, oh, what's this going to do for like quality of games and all that stuff, I will say, as long as the indie development scene is strong, and it has never been stronger than it is right now, we don't have too much to worry about. I remember joking on social media that Nintendo should buy EA. That way EA will finally publish a damn game on their system. And that might actually happen, because I hear EA's looking for a buyer. And with the power of the Geek Cave, now we're going to have to record another episode like a week after this one.
You know what? Eh.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm not too worried about the future of gaming. I do know that more options are better, and I don't believe these companies when they say, "Oh yeah, we'll make sure that, you know, we share some of these big games like Call of Duty and you know, Elder Scrolls and yeah, sure."
I think we're going to see an era of timed exclusives. I mean, we've already seen that kind of in the last 5-6 years.
Right.
The idea of like, yeah, Mass Effect 3 is going to be an Xbox exclusive for a year.
Yeah, something like that.
And then it's going to open up to everyone. And honestly, I think that's probably the way to go about it. Because especially if you commit to it, you commit to, we're going to have Uncharted 5 on the PlayStation for 1 year. And then we're going to start selling it on the Xbox or on the PC, or, you know, we're going to open it up. Well, that year is going to be spent patching it and expanding on it. And so when they sell it on the other console, there's not going to be the same day one thing. It's going to be with the patches, the fixes, the rebalancing,
you know,
all those things. You're almost better off waiting the year in some ways.
That's fair.
That being said, I'm already planning on February 20th, you know, going to my local GameStop and buying Horizon Forbidden West.
Yes.
I mean, I intentionally did not buy a game 2 days ago because I wasn't going to get done with it before the 20th.
Kena?
Miles Morales.
Ah, okay. That's a good one too.
I was between the two. I'm like Kena, Miles Morales, you know, going back and forth, because I really like the Spider-Man game, and the Ultimate Edition Miles Morales also comes with the original.
Oh, and it looks so much better on PS5.
I believe it.
It's astounding.
I'm actually looking forward specifically to the load times.
Yes.
On the other one, but that's off topic. In terms of gaming company acquisitions, there's no stopping it. I mean, this is just another round of engulf and devour. You know, just grab as much as you can. What's got me kind of worried in some ways is more some of the companies I was looking at that they were started by an entrepreneur for, you know, and never made a game, but then started buying video game companies. Mm. You know, it's like you'll have a company that was created and then never made a game, but said, okay, so we've got this video game company. We should probably have a video game. Let's buy this company over here for like $2 million. And now their game is our game.
You know, this sounds a lot like paid DLC.
In a lot of ways, it's pay to win.
Yeah.
But that's also, it's how some of these really large companies are making their money. Take-Two, yes. You know, probably, there's no game that Take-Two, the company, is making. You know, but they're publishing out of all these other ones. Embracer Group doesn't make games. You know, Microsoft has a studio that does make them under the Microsoft name. Same with Sony Santa Monica. You know, there's the only ones that really do are Ubisoft. Like, if you checked out what Ubisoft claims they own, it's really just Ubisoft in all the different countries.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. I mean, Nintendo's kind of the same way, where they make a lot of their own games, but yeah.
But, like, Tencent is not making their own games. Tencent is buying game companies, and they're making sure they get published. They are the middle management of the gaming world.
Well, and unfortunately, sometimes middle management is necessary.
Well, and the thing is that appropriately done, that's probably how it needs to work. Here's your schedule. Here's your budget. Leave the things on the floor that you need to leave on the floor in order to meet these two things.
Right.
If you deliver a game that works, you can always add more things later and we can sell it.
Yeah, CD Projekt Red.
Well, it worked for them.
Yeah, it did. It did. And Cyberpunk is a good game now, so.
Cyberpunk is a good game now. Yo. I don't have anything else. I had done a whole bunch of looking at video game and gaming company acquisitions, and it astounds me. In the last year there have been 302.
Whew.
So that's as of February the 5th, 2022. Back to the previous February the 5th.
Wow.
And not all of those are video game companies. They're, you know, sports cards and gambling establishments, you know, just, but sure. Gaming as a gaming set. So it's here and it's going to happen. Hopefully the companies recognize that quality means more money on both ends. It means spending it, but it also means making it. If Spider-Man had not been the quality it was, I would not be going after Miles Morales.
Yeah. And that really is kind of where I guess we both fall on this situation is if you're not a fan of a company's business practices or what they're doing to your favorite game, vote with your wallet and just don't buy it.
That is an opportunity and an option for everybody.
All right. Well, Chad, appreciate it. Thanks for taking some time with me and trying to hash out what is a very complicated situation.
Oh, heck yeah. And for those of you who are tuning in, thank you for giving us about 20 minutes of your time instead of reading the 5-minute article.
Which you can find at dkpodcast.com, as well as links to our social media. And, you know, all of our other shows, including You Want Me to Watch What, the main Deep Cave podcast, and the Week 3 podcast. So until then, try to save up some money. Who knows? Maybe you'll buy the next Wordle or not. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.